So here's the thing for you that are here. Anytime it's brought up, you tell them there's a video of it. Because I don't know that I'm going to be doing it again, just saying. But no, these guys do it every week, right? And that's the point I want to make to you. These guys do it every single week. They're here early. Sometimes they're here on Saturdays till late and putting in the work and the time and different things like that. So we should never take them for granted. And, you know, be sure you appreciate them and love them and let them know how important they are to our church, every single one of them. So I say all of that to say that. That they deserve our appreciation for the time and effort they put in. I got to tell a funny on Josh, though. We were talking about doing There Was Jesus Again, and he, from like almost immediately in January, was like, we need to do that again, and I'll sing John's part. And then when Lindsay started coming, he brought it up again and everything. I was like, okay. Well, I forget what sermon series we were in the middle of then. I'm like, I there's way too much I'm processing. I can't do it then. Let's wait until another time. So anyway, when we decided we were going to do it this week, Josh jumps in last night and he says, well, if I'm going to sing those two verses, we got to change the chords and we got to da-da-da-da-da-da-da and all of this technical music stuff and everything else. I'm like, bro, I'm going to pick a lane and I'm going to jump in it and I'm just going to go for it. You all figure the chords and other stuff out because I'm not going to be paying any attention and so forth. So I think he sat back and he's like, okay. But yeah, that's just when I sang in choir and stuff in school, literally our teacher would have to sing my part. And as soon as he sang my part, I'm like, okay, I got it. And I can sing that part. But yeah, when you're telling me you're going to change this chord to this chord and everything, I'm like, I'm just going to sing, bro. So we are thankful for them and we're thankful for Jesus. And it's been an interesting week. This month has been kind of crazy at work. So we've been working a lot of hours and different things like that. And we were coming to the end of this sermon series, What's Your Story sermon series. And I hope everyone has really taken that to heart, because the most important thing for us to glean from that is the reality that we each have a story. If you go back to the first message in the series, we each have a story that was placed in us by God, right? We weren't designed to walk this earth and be cool. We weren't designed. It's okay if you are, right? And it's okay if you're not, right? Because I think cool is context. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. You were designed for purpose. You were designed for power. You were designed for promise. You were designed by the Creator because He wanted you to be this. Whatever this is. And it's important for us to grab hold of that, because otherwise life will lie to us. Life will lie to us and say you don't matter. Life will lie to us and say you don't count. Life will lie to us and say that you're insignificant, right? And Satan will make sure that those voices and Satan will make sure that those people are around you enough to defeat what it is that God has. Because trust me, Satan does not want you to grab a hold of your story, right? Satan does not want you to step into the power and the promise that he placed in you. See, he didn't consult you, right? He didn't consult you. He didn't, when he was forming you in the womb, say, okay, I'm going to make you this. Is that okay? And I'm going to give you this power so that you accomplish this. Are you okay with that? Are you comfortable with that? See, we weren't consulted. But God designed us that way. And he prepares us that way so that when we reach the place and we reach the point that he's ready to reveal to us who we are in him, that his power would begin to work in us. And so sometimes that's hard for us to grasp, right? Because we gotta live in this horizontal world, right? And we gotta deal with the horizontal stuff, right? And we've got to process all of the horizontal things, right? And somewhere in the midst of all of that, we've got to have this vertical relationship that now begins to teach us and reveal to us our story. It's hard. It's tough. It's difficult. It's challenging. Everything that it's meant to be. And I'm glad that it is. Because if it wasn't on that level, I think we would mess a whole lot of things up. And God would have limited people to move us in his direction. Let us remember that he promised us in Scripture that his way is straight, right? And his way is what? Narrow. Straight and narrow, right? So sometimes it's important for us to see that the easier road might not be God, right? And the loudest voice might not be God's, right? God, Scripture often tells us that he operates in what? A whisper. I'll never forget as a kid, maybe middle school age, I was sitting in a revival service, and Don Blackwell, you remember Don Blackwell? No? Don Blackwell ministered a lot of revivals in the association I grew up in. And I remember as a teen, he stood in the pulpit and he made a comment that if God whispers, we should walk so closely with him that we hear it and understand it. What's the first thing you do if someone whispers to you? You lean in. Good. Most of us, right, if we're honest, most of us will be like, what? Huh? Right? And I never forget that as a teen, this, and it stuck with me, you know, all of these years, because I'm a lot older now, and it has stuck with me all of that time, because I remember that challenge. I remember that push, Chris, to live my life so that if God whispers to me, I hear it. And part of being able to hear that whisper is also turning off the noise around me, turning off the things around me that don't matter, turning off the things around me that are insignificant, turning off the negative voices and turning off the negativity in my own head and turning off the things that Satan puts around me to try and keep me from my story. Because trust me, there is power and there is hope and there is promise in your story. I want you to understand that. Because the world will teach you everything else, right? It will teach you everything else. It's why we have horrible rates today for people dropping out of school and committing suicide and getting into drugs and doing all of the things that happens into our culture simply because we hear the noise and we don't hear the whisper. And we forget the power that's been placed into us by God. And from the time that God first gave me this series and I began putting it all together and outlining it, it was never really clear to me how we wrapped it up. It was never really picture clear to me how God wanted to wrap it up and end it. I mean, I had probably 20 different happenings in Scripture earmarked. This could be way, this could be one, this could be one. And even into the early part of this week, I was kind of in a place where it was like, I don't know, I'm just not feeling that one. I'm not feeling this one. I'm not, you know, God, you gotta show me. I gotta wrap this up. And then oddly enough, and I say oddly enough because it was Facebook, and you know, Facebook has a lot of garbage on it, but it was on Facebook that I shared something that Sam and I had on our devotion this week. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was a tough thing. It was one of those things that when you kind of read it, you're kind of like, oh, I'm not sure I really like that, right? But it was someone talking about when Abraham takes Isaac up onto the mountain and how Abraham termed what they were getting ready to do as worship. Let me read the story so that we're sure we remember it. In Genesis, the 22nd chapter, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt," or translated test, "Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Behold, I'm here. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee." That don't sound like worship to me. Does that sound like worship to you? "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship, and then come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon the ass and his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham, and built an altar, and laid wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld my son, thine only son, from me. I think there comes a point in a time in our life where we're all in a tough place. God shows us something, God reveals something to us, and God begins to move in our life in a way that is uncomfortable, right? And I'm going to be honest with you, if serving God and if walking the walk of faith is easy for you, my bet is you're probably not living your story, right? Because there's nothing easy about it. Right? I don't care what your job is. I don't care if you're singing in front of thousands of people or singing in front of 10 people. I don't care if you're speaking in front of thousands of people or speaking in front of two or three. And there are a lot of things that people have done to make it easier, right? They have preformed messages that you can download and preach or read, whatever you want to call it. There are things that people have done where they just preach the same message over and over and over again, right? There are literally schools that teach you, pick five messages, preach them well, and you'll travel the country preaching those five messages and make a lot of money. Not interested. Not interested, okay? Because the reality for me is I want to dig into this word, and I want this word to not only reveal God to me, but I want this word to reveal me to me. Right? I want this word to reveal me to me. Because, right, I sometimes have a hard time understanding me. I have a hard time understanding who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. So it requires God to push me. And none of us like that. None of us like being pushed. None of us like being challenged. None of us like being taken to a place to where, hey, maybe my idea isn't God's idea. How dare he? Right? And we have a need to process that. And we have a need to figure that out. And we have a need to press in and let God move me. Man, I was that guy. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to preach. I woke up in boot camp, Parris Island, South Carolina, dreaming of being in the pulpit preaching. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'll just be a Marine. I'll just be this. I'll just be that. No, thank you. Right? And it was easy to hide when I was from it in the military, but when I came home, it was real. It was real. I was encountering people that had sowed into my life for years, and I was encountering people who were pushing me and challenging me to step into what God wanted, and it freaked me out. Even kind of made me angry. This isn't how I planned my life. This isn't what I wanted to do. This isn't who I am. I don't want this responsibility. I don't want this challenge. I don't want everything that comes with this. I want to be who I am. But what I didn't realize is in all of that, I never was who I was meant to be. I never was really me, and you are never really you until you grab hold of your story. Until you grab hold of what it is that God has authored for you. And then he placed everything needed, every power, every ability, every anointing, every piece of him necessary, he placed in you while you were in the belly. That's Bible. And then we come to this moment with Abraham. And I'm going to be honest with you, as a dad, there's that part of me where I'm like, man, hard stuff, right? I would never do that. I would never consider that. I'm not even sure that I believe in a God who would ask somebody to do that, right? And I'm like, how does this happen? How does this work? Where does this fit into the story, right? How does God move in a way that says to us, take your child and place him in an altar and present him as a burnt sacrifice to me? See, God knew the story. God knew the story. And the tough part for us is we don't. We don't. We just know what God's saying step into right now. See, what I had a hard time understanding is yes, stepping into the pulpit and stepping into to being a preacher or whatever you want to call it, and everything else required a lot of me. And I've shared with you many times, 7 years I pretty much didn't do anything but dig into the Word of God. Right? I put a lot of goals and a lot of plans and a lot of want-tos away. And those dissolved and disappeared because God showed me, this is where I want you, this is what I want you to do, and this is what I'm going to move and do into your life, and those things never mattered, right? So sometimes there are things that we need to put and take on and lay on the altar and allow God to remove them and forgive them, and instead, amen, not be sad and whiny and cry about it, but instead allow the power of God to move in and replace those things and do incredible things through us and in us and around us that we would have never comprehended had we not. And I think it's why when we read a story like this, when we read something in Scripture like this, we take a step back and we're like, whoa, I can't do that, I won't do that, I don't want to do that. That's way too much. Over the top, God, figure something else out, right? But it's because we haven't seen or heard the whole story yet. We don't even know what's in the second chapter, let alone the end. And we've never trusted God. You see, here's what I think the difference was. I think Abraham had already been given his story. God had already told Abraham, I am going to do this. I am going to bless you. I am going to create a nation, and thousands of people will be your descendants. And it will come, amen, and you won't be able to number them because of what I'm going to do in you and through you and around you. Yes, I'm going to bless Sarah's womb, and yes, I'm going to give you a baby. And because of that, this baby and this descendant will lead the nation and bring the nation to where I want it to be. And here's what I think happened. I think in that moment, Abraham got it. Abraham knew his story. Abraham knew where God was. And our problem most of the time is we know where we are, but we don't know where God is. Amen? We know where we are, and we know what we want. We know what is comfortable. We know what feels good. We know what little bit of push is okay, but not a great big push, God, because that's way too much. Amen? And the reason we have a problem with that is because, again, we know where we are, but we don't know where God is. We don't put the time in. We don't put the focus in. Sometimes it's because we got a whole lot of other noise going on that we're developing that horizontal really good, but man, we are really struggling with that vertical. Amen. Here's my challenge to you. If that's true for you, put the vertical in front of everything else and watch God. Amen? And I know you say things like that from a pulpit, and people are immediately, preacher, I've got my job, and I've got this, and I've got this. No, that's not what I said. I said, put the vertical first and watch God. There have been times in my life that I have thought to myself, I don't have time to prepare my message this week. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. This is happening. This person's calling. This is happening. This is going on. I got to be here. I got to be there. I got to do this. I got to do that. This phone call's coming. And it's, sometimes it's utter chaos. And if you know me well, you know I hate chaos. Right? Hate it. Despise it. I tell my team at work all the time, I've told our leadership team, the reason we have chaos is because we don't put in the preparation. The reason we have chaos is because we don't put in the preparation. We don't put things where they're meant to be and supposed to be. And so chaos follows. Amen? And I believe it is exactly that way in our Christian life. It is exactly that way in our Christian life, that when we put everything else first, other than our relationship with God, other than our understanding of His Word, other than the story He authored for us, then we struggle, then we complain, then chaos enters in, and we don't have a clue where to turn. Everything seems preposterous, everything seems above board, everything seems just utterly ludicrous when it comes to the faith, to where we're not even sure if we want to go to church. It's just too much, right? And if I go to church, gee, you know, it's just going to challenge me and push me a little bit more. Yep, amen. Why? Because I was that guy who got pushed. I don't push you because I sit on some great big throne and I think of myself to be something when I'm nothing. I push you because I was a guy who once got pushed and realized, oh, wow, this is how it works. So this is how you work, God. So this is where you're at. And this is where I'm called to. You see, I don't think for one second Abraham gave this a second thought. Scripture doesn't tell us anywhere where he did. Scripture doesn't say where he argued. Scripture doesn't say he didn't say anything other than, here am I. Amen. Imagine living that close to God. Kind of like the whole whisper thing that Don Blackwell I shared with you said. Imagine living that close to God that when He speaks, you just say, here am I. You know, our first response nowadays is, well, what's this going to cost me? How much time is this going to take? Where do I'm kind of cool over here, God. Someone else will do that, right? That's kind of how we respond to God today. And then we wonder why He doesn't move. Then we wonder why revivals don't sweep our lands. And then we wonder why heaven's fire don't fall on our lips and we change lives and we see people healed and we see things delivered out of people's lives. It's because we don't have time for all that. Right? Too much stuff. Too many things. Right? And I get it. Man, I get it. But what I'm saying to you is this. What I'm pushing you into, I'm not pushing you into anything that isn't of God. What I want to push you into is I want to push you into your story. I want to push you into who you are meant to be by God the Creator. Nothing else. Nothing more. And here's what I know. I said a few minutes ago, amen, to put that vertical relationship first and watch God. What I have found is when I am in the midst of my chaos, if I turn all the noise off from that chaos and I go into my secret place and I get down on my knees and I seek out to Him, sometimes, you know what, I go outside away from even the possibility of getting interrupted by the family and everything, and I go out somewhere and I find myself and I kneel down and I put my nose in the dirt. And I remind myself to God, I'm dirt. This is what I am. This is how You made me. And I am not capable of figuring all of that out. So I'm putting You first. I'm declaring You first. I'm declaring You. I am worshiping You with all of me in this moment. I am saying to You more than anyone else that You come first, God. And You do what needs to be done with all of this other stuff. You show me, You educate me, You bring me wisdom, you bring me the help, You bring me the people, You do what needs to be done with all of that other stuff, but I will put You first. I will worship You in all of me and all of who I am, and You do what You've called me to be. You help me accomplish what you've called me to accomplish, because I can't do it on my own. Right? You would not believe, amen, that this may seem triumphant, this may seem grandiose or whatever, but trust me, trust me, right? It comes with a whole lot of faith and a whole lot of trust in God that he's going to do what I'm incapable of doing. Amen? And I think that's exactly where Abraham was here. Abraham knew what God had promised, and he took full faith in that promise. Nope, God said this. Nope, God said that. You want me to sacrifice my son? Doesn't make sense, God, but okay, because you said this and your promise holds. Your promise holds. You're not a thief. You're not a liar. You can't tempt me. Amen. You can test me, but you can't tempt me. Amen. James tells us that God can't be tempted, so therefore we can't be tempted. So all of these things are true, and all of these things are real, and all of these things are yes and amen in you, God. So you want me to walk up there, and you want me to lay Isaac on an altar? You want me to get ready to burn him? Fine, God, because you said this, and I'm holding you. I am holding you to your word. You want this? You see this from Israel years from now, decades from now, God? Fine. I'll walk up the hill. Fine. I'll do what you tell me to do, because you've already told me you're going to do this. So show me. You see, it was an act of worship for Abraham, because Abraham believed what God had said before, not what God was saying now. He didn't necessarily understand how this whole Isaac on the altar thing was going to work. I'll give you that, right? And there's probably something inside his father's heart saying, whoa, 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 what's going on? But he just kept putting one foot in front of the other. He just kept marching up the hill. He just kept doing what God said to do, because he knew what God promised. And friend, if you're going to write your story, if you're going to create through the power of God, if God through you is going to create something powerful and something life-changing, not only to you and your family, but to all of those that he brings into your path and into your level of influence, the only way you're going to do that is through the power of God and his story in you being lived out. Right? So you've got to find out who you are. You've got to figure out who you are. You've got to figure out what your story is, and you've got to step into it. Amen? And don't listen to the loud voices. Listen to the whispers. Amen? Don't listen to the obvious and logical choice. Sometimes that's God, but sometimes it's not. This truly wasn't a logical voice from God. I've even had people use this scripture. Yeah, okay, I'm free to share this. I've had people argue with me that this scripture is evidence of why abortion is okay. And yeah, I know, I get it. Yeah, for those of you that can't see, most of the congregation is looking at me going, what? But I've even had people use this moment to argue that abortion is okay. And I'm not going to go through that whole scenario with you, but what I want you to understand, it's anything but that. It is the complete opposite of that, because if you're struggling, and I don't know why God's bringing this to me, but if you're struggling with that decision right now, if you're struggling with that ideology right now, I'm going to tell you what, it is not okay. It is not an option. And what this story teaches us is that the world may offer us places to do those things, amen? Just like Abraham went to the full place where he laid Isaac on the altar and everything, but what I want you to get from this and what I want you to understand from that, and that is exactly what I told this person who said that to me. What this tells me is that God will always make a way. God will always make a way. God will always make a way. The way, reason we don't see the way, the reason we don't walk the way, the reason we don't have the power of the way is because we push God into the corner and create our own messes, and then we wallow around in them. And the reality for us is this: God will make a way. God will put a ram in the bulrushes. God will put a fire in a bush. God will part a sea. God will tear down the walls flat so that the army can march right in. Friend, listen, there is no power under heaven. There is no authority under heaven. There is no being under heaven who can stand in God's way. And when we choose to walk in his authority and his power in this life, there is no decision that we have to make, and there is nothing, no chapter in our story that rocks his world. And he will always minister full authority and full power in us. Amen? Doesn't mean it's always easy, but it means he's always faithful. Doesn't mean that sometimes we have to step through the door and we're kind of like, whoa, I have no clue what's going to happen next, right? Have no clue what happened next, but God, right? It's like Melissa's shirt, just Jesus, period. Amen. That was something that was shared at the concert the other night. I loved it. And I wanted one of the shirts. I went looking for them. I couldn't find them. Apparently they were in some little nook or cranny that I missed. But just Jesus, period. But God. Right? All these little things we like to hashtag on our social media and this and that and the other. Are we really living that? Are we really walking in that? Amen? Is that just a feel-good chill bump kind of thing that we grab onto when we need it? Amen? Or are we walking in faith? Let me tell you what. You're not going to put your child on a donkey and march him up a hill with the idea of sacrificing him. You're not going to tie him up on an altar unless you fully believe in God's promise and God's power. And friend, listen, there have been times in my life, there have been times in our family where the ends didn't meet, where nothing made sense, and there was nothing but chaos around me. And I went and I put my nose in that dirt and I said, God, I am dirt, I am filthy, I am mud. But I'm putting you first. I am worshiping you. So you write the story. You determine what's next. You figure out the next sentence. Because I don't have it. I don't have it. And he has always answered. He has always shown up. He has always figured it out. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. There have been times that my gut was in knots, and I thought I was gonna puke because I just didn't see any hope in the flesh. I didn't see any way it was gonna happen. I'll share this with you. Amen. I was having a conversation with our boys a couple weeks ago. There was a time when we had both house payments and this and that and the other, that due to a clerical error, no fault of our own, no mispayment, no nothing like that, but due to a clerical issue that we came this close of losing the place on the hill and the place in Cross Lanes. Homeless. And because it wasn't my mistake, I had no authority over fixing it. I had no way to make it right. All I could do was push the people that needed to make it right and trust God. And I'm going to tell you what, 3 days, probably significant, 3 days before it was all going to come crumbling down, God stepped in. We got a phone call out of nowhere. The lawyer involved in the situation and everything else, and he says, well, I walked over to the state house. I did this, and someone I'd never seen before came out of the room. We sat down. We had a conversation. He signed the piece of paper, and this is all going to take care of. I'm going to file the paperwork, and you guys will be good by tomorrow morning. And for weeks, I just had to put my nose in the dirt and say, God, I'm putting you first. You would not have led me here. You would not have done this. You would not have pushed this. You would not have put me in this place to abandon me. It is against who you are. It is against what you are. It is against what you promise. So I'm worshiping you, and I'm believing that this is just one of those moments where I have to trust you. I have to believe in you wholeheartedly, and I have to know you're going to work and you're going to do the impossible on my behalf. So do it. And he did. And he did. Actually, better than we could have imagined. Isn't that kind of how he always works? Huh? Better than we could have imagined. So at the end of the day, friend, I want to tell you that no matter what God says, no matter what God does, he's already got the answer. He's already figured out the way. Just like we said in Jeremiah several weeks ago, he has already provided what you need. He's already, that person that the lawyer didn't know, had never seen before, who walked out of the room, I don't know if that was an angel or a real person. All I know is when we needed it, that person walked through the door. And I believe it was a God thing. Amen? And so what I want us to know is if we believe him in the little things, right? If we're gonna testify God did this or God did that over little things, amen. And sometimes I think we got to be careful with that. One of the greatest lessons I ever heard. We used to have a young preacher's class when several of us were first called to preach back in the day. Al Mendez, if you know him, always led that for us and did a fantastic job. And I'm so thankful for so many of the things that he taught me. But one thing I'll never forget that he taught in that moment is that it is so vital and so important for us to wait and listen for God, because God is always ready to move on those who let him. Problem is sometimes we just try to take control and authority out of God's hand, and then we wonder why God didn't work. Friend, listen, your story is a real thing. And I want you to walk away from these 4 weeks, and I want you to know that your story is real and your story is alive, okay? It's not a storybook thing. It's not one of those cool things that preachers and churches do to try and, you know, trick you into the faith or anything else like that. No, Jesus even promises that you'll have tribulation, okay? So I'm not saying that it will be easy. I'm not trying to placate you in any way, shape, or another. But what I am promising you is God is who he says he is. God is who he says he is, and God will do what he says he does. And if God promises that he will strike down our adversaries and reveal them to the fowls, you know what that means? You know what that means in Scripture? It means that he will strike down our adversary and reveal him to the birds that will come and eat him. Right? This is God saying, I will go to that length on your behalf. I will go there for you. And all he asks us to do is live in faith. Live and walk in faith. Live every day knowing that no matter how bad the news is, no matter how tough the push is, he has every answer and he has every capability to accomplish it in us. Amen? And we struggle with that, man. We struggle with that. I get it, man. There are some days I put my head on the pillow and I'm thinking, man, where do we go from here? And I look back at my life and I remember so many things in my life that have brought me to a faith and have brought me to a spiritual indignance to where I just believe that God is going to show up and God is going to do what he needs to do. And I believe that's where Abraham here was in this moment. Abraham was spiritually indignant. Notice he didn't tell Sarah. Right? Yeah, because I think Sarah probably would have had something to say about this, right? And amen, that's a message for us too. That sometimes we need to be careful what we say and what we do until God has manifested himself into it and it's coming to fruition. Amen. And then just let people stand back and see God, not you. Amen. So he packed things up and he went up the hill. And friends, sometimes all God asks us to do is to pack up and start up the hill. To trust him, to write the story. You see, there's so many things that we'll never figure out. There's so many answers that we will never get. Amen? Paul said it like this, I see through a glass darkly. I see through a glass darkly, meaning I know God's on the other side and it's transparent enough that I can kind of, you know, get an idea of what's next. But I can't see the whole picture. I don't see every detail. I don't see every illustration perfectly. But I believe in my Savior. I believe wholeheartedly in who Jesus is. And Paul gave one of the strongest testimonies we'll ever read in Scripture when he finished his race. He came to a point and a place, and in a letter he wrote and he said, I have finished my race. He didn't say, I got to the finish line, right? Because you can take shortcuts and get to the finish line, right? You can look apart, you can play a part, right? And wiggle around all the tough stuff and get to the finish line, right? Paul said, no, I finished my race, my story, the one God authored, the one gave me. It's been hard, it's been difficult, I've been in prison, I've been snake bit, I've been all of these things. But I finished my story. I finished it. And I did it in the power of God so that all could see that God asked me for this and God gave me this every step of the way. Every step of the way. And so, friends, sometimes we struggle and sometimes we falter. Sometimes we fall down. And the reason we do isn't because we're weak, right? That's what the world wants to teach us. That's what legalism wants to teach us, amen, is that we fall down because we're weak. And while there's some truth to that, what we ultimately fall down for is because we're not trusting God to write the story. We're not trusting God to handle the tough stuff. We're not trusting God that when he says, take Isaac on a mountain and be faithful to me and worship me and love me and make me first, that I'll supply everything you need. You see, that's why we struggle and fall down a lot. It's because we're not willing to trust him on that level. God called to Abraham, and Abraham said, here am I. God said, take Isaac onto the mountain, and Abraham said, here am I. God said, lay him on the altar and tie him up, and Abraham said, here am I. Why? Because God is first, because God matters, and God is not going to strand me, and God is not going to wad my story up and throw it in the trash can. God is not going to all of a sudden say, everything I said before doesn't matter, and everything I said before is a lie. God is going to say that I am the God of heaven and earth. I am the creator. I am Alpha and Omega. And if I want to put a ram in the bulrushes for you, I will put him there and I will deliver you and make a way for everything in your life. Oh, come on. Are you listening to me? Friend, that is the God we serve. That is his power and that is his authority. And he will move in us in manners that we can't comprehend. So as we bring this to an end, what's your story? What's your story? Are you living it? Are you living it? Are you walking in it? I don't want the yeah buts. I don't want the yeah buts, amen? If not, I'm going to copy all four of these messages, and I won't say that I did them perfectly, but I'm going to send them back to you, and I'm going to bring you back to this moment to where I declare who God is before you and all that God is capable of doing on your behalf when you choose to walk with him and trust him, even in the hard stuff, even in the difficult stuff, even in the things that aren't your fault. Amen? Because it's crazy what the world does. It's crazy the chaos that flesh and blood will author and even try to make you subject to. Amen? Don't allow that authority to intimidate you. Don't allow it to bother you. Don't allow it to frustrate you. Don't allow it to hurt you. Amen? You trust in what God has authored and you walk in it. Amen? You see, I think sometimes the reason we don't live out faith like Abraham lived out faith, like Moses lived out. I mean, can you imagine an ocean? I know I've brought it up several times in this message, but can you just fathom that moment? I mean, we're not talking about a creek, right? I can jump over a creek. I don't need God to part that. Yet you got all these smart people saying, oh, it's just a creek because of the time of the year and the way the wind blows and everything else. No, you're an idiot, okay? It's the Red Sea, right? It's the Red freaking Sea, okay? And Moses is standing there knowing that this Egyptian army is going to slay the entire nation. He doesn't have a clue what's about to happen, but he takes his staff and he declares that he worships. He worships, just like Abraham worshiped in this moment, knowing that God is able, knowing that God is capable, and I am declaring your glory over this moment. God, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. You want to know the reality? I can't wait to sit down, right, and have Moses tell this to me and just sit there shutting up, not saying a word, just listening. And I have to believe he's going to look at me and he's going to be like, dude. He's going to say, dude, I know it, right? He's going to look at me and he's going to be like, dude, I had no clue what was going to happen next. I just knew God was not going to bring me to the seashore and leave me there to be slaughtered. That's all I knew. So I worshiped him. And I trusted him to be God. And he parted the sea. And we walked across it on dry ground. You see all these pictures that have the little puddles? Lies. Amen. Dry ground. No puddles even. Amen. Not like West Virginia with 1,000 puddles. Amen. That seafloor was dry. And they walked across it. Because of who God is. And because of the story he wrote and put in Moses. And your story is no less significant. Your story is no less significant. Amen. I don't know that you're going to part seas. I don't know what you're going to do. All I know is God will be there with you. And God will see to it that everything you need, every authority and every power in his hand, will fight and battle on your behalf. And you will build, going back to Jeremiah, you will build and plant. Not yourself. Not yourself. That's garbage teaching. Amen. I believe God will bless us, and I believe God can bless us into prosperity. Amen. But I don't believe that's the centrifuge of what we preach and what we teach and why we preach it and teach it. Amen. I'm not talking against that stuff because it is scriptural, but what I am saying to you is, man, just step out in faith, just walk with God, and if he wants you to have this or that or this home or that home or this car or that car or this job or that job, he will do it. He will do it. Amen. I was talking to somebody this week. They were all upset because the job they thought they were going to get, the job they were convinced that God was moving them to, didn't happen. And so when I got the text this week, I responded with, praise God. What? What do you mean, praise God? Now I'm stuck in this bad situation. Everything else, they didn't say that, but praise God. Why praise God? Because that wasn't part of your story. Clearly, that wasn't part of your story. And so what that closed door means is God saved you from going down a path that you weren't meant to go down. It means you might have to deal with the tough stuff a little longer. It means you might have to seek out a new path. It means you might need to put your nose in the dirt and pray. Find out where God is and worship him. But God has moved on your behalf today. So accept it and worship him. And know that God is not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He is not going to turn his back on what he has already promised. So walk like Abraham. Live like Abraham. Think like Abraham. What are you going to do? Where's the offering? Amen. We're going to worship. I believe he was probably choking back tears. The flesh in him, I believe he was probably choking it back. And he was just determined that God was going to show up. We're going to worship. We're going to worship. We're going to the hill. We're going to worship. I figure that's probably about all he could say. And to the very moment that he raised the knife, I believe he trusted God to see it through. And God did. So let us worship him. Let us live a life devoted to Him and worship Him in all aspects of our life, even when it doesn't make sense. Knowing that He didn't consult us, He put the story in us, and all He has asked us to do is walk it. Live it. Finish the race. Quit looking for the easy way. Amen. Finish your race. Stand before Him and stand before all of those that He gives you influence over. Stand before them knowing that you did everything to the best of your ability to point people to Him, to honor Him and to bring glory to Him, and He will make a difference in you that people can't explain. Still, I'm going to close right now. Still run into people I went to high school with or that knew me right after the Marine Corps and different things like that, and they find out that I'm a pastor of the church and like, I don't get it. And I'm like, neither do I, but God is awesome, right? God is awesome. Amen. So today, quit disqualifying yourself. Quit disqualifying what might be. Quit disqualifying those around you that you could help and encourage. Quit disqualifying based upon the flesh. Quit disqualifying based on the vertical that you're found in, and start living in the vertical. Allow the God of heaven to be the author of your story and live it out. Let's stand and pray. Or sing. Sorry. As they get ready this morning, I love that phrase, and I know TJ says it a lot, and I've heard they said it several times at Winter Jam Friday night, and I love that atmosphere. I would much rather they had like three or four bands and you got to see like 30, 45 minutes for each band instead of like three or four songs each. But I love that moment because you hear a whole lot of Jesus. And it's to a whole lot of teens and people that you probably wouldn't reach in this setting, but in that setting with a whole lot of sound and a whole lot of noise and everything else that it comes. But I love that saying, press in. Press in. Because sometimes I think we struggle with that. Right? Because we don't want to press in. We don't want to go the extra mile. We don't want to sacrifice the extra stuff, time, people, whatever, right? But then we see a guy like Abraham, who in his heart of hearts, I have to believe as a dad, he was kind of having this inner panic attack of, you want me to do what? But on the outside, he never showed it. And on the outside, he never allowed those he influenced to see it. On the outside, he just chose to believe and trust in God. And when I was sharing some of the stuff, because, you know, we didn't share all of that with our boys and everything else when it was going on, because, I mean, it was overwhelming in a lot of ways. And so when we were talking the other day, and it just kind of came out in conversation, and they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, well, there was this situation and blah, 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 blah. And for about a month and a half, we didn't know what was going to happen. And so forth. And I remember they just sat there and just looked at us like, holy crap, how did we not know? How is this, that, and the other? I said, because of God. Because I knew God wouldn't have led us to the church. I knew God wouldn't have led us to 5 minutes of that church and then turn his back and walk away. I knew God was going to show up. I just didn't know when or how. And I knew that if it did meant that this crazy thing happened, then he had a reason. And as much as that would have sucked, I was willing to walk in it because I knew he had a plan. And I know he made a promise. So friend, I know we don't like messages about Abraham wanting to sacrifice, not wanting to, but going to sacrifice Isaac because of because of God telling him to, and we don't like being pushed in our faith to that level. But friend, I want you to know, right, from someone who's been pushed way more than I like in my life, I want you to know that every time I press in, every time I press in, God shows me how much bigger he is than what I already thought he was. Right? And when we come to that place and that realization that we realize that God is bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and come to the place that we understand that he's fathomless, and that we can't even comprehend his enormity, it will take our faith to levels that we don't understand. So press in. Maybe there's this thing that you're called to, and you don't know all the answers, you don't understand it. But this morning, press in, because God does. He's writing that story. Maybe you're here and your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe you're here and you're going through things and dealing with things that don't make sense, and they're hurtful and they're harmful. Press in. Fight the fight. And trust God to do everything else. Take him at his word. Press in. Maybe you're here and life in general is not in a good place. Maybe you look at all of the blows you've been dealt and you just don't get it. It's not fair. And you're right, it probably isn't. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't have a Red Sea moment for you. It doesn't mean that God is not going to show up with your ram in the weeds. So press in. Maybe you're here and you've contemplated this Jesus thing. You've contemplated salvation for years. You've gone through the motions and you're cool with that. You believe in Jesus, but you've never really lived a life of faith. Man, press in. Let today be the day that you declare and worship the power of God over your life to do the things that everyone else will tell you are impossible. Press in. Maybe you're here and you're lost. Maybe you're here and you're lost. Maybe you're here and Jesus, as much as you want him to be, he just isn't your Savior. He just isn't the one that you rely on to redeem you of all the things you've done and all the places you've been. I was that guy, right? I was that guy. I ran from the ministry so hard, thinking that I could do all of this stuff and live this way and Jesus wouldn't want me. But what I didn't realize is that because he's the author of the story, he sent his son Jesus to be that ram in the bulrush, to be the spotless one. That no matter where I had been or what I had done, no matter what the story says, no matter what people for years have held over my head, he sent the power through the blood of Jesus Christ and his work at Calvary to wipe my slate clean and to keep writing my story. So this morning, press in. Press in to a God who loves you and a God who will be everything he promised he would be. Press in as we sing.